Hello and welcome to The Check-In, KBIA's live noontime forum for community connection and conversation over the airwaves. Thanks for checking in with us today. The Missouri State Legislature is in budget planning. This happens every year, but as you might imagine, this year is like no other year. Last month, Missouri Governor Mike Parson signed into law a $6.2 billion supplemental funding package to address the economic crisis brought on by the coronavirus crisis. Starting today, the state will begin doling out some of those funds to local governments so they can be used to prop up healthcare, education, social programs, and more. During this time here in Boone County, we'll be getting some of those funds. A majority of these relief funds come from the Federal CARES Act. That's the Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security Act, for those of you who really want to know. And today we're going to be talking about how that money is used here in Missouri. On top of this global crisis, state lawmakers are also working on passing next year's state budget, business as usual, but also anything but business as usual. So to help us sort through everything that's going on, we have a couple of state legislatures from here in mid-Missouri. We have State Representative Kip Kendrick checking in with us today. Representative Kendrick represents Missouri's House of Representatives 45th District, which covers parts of Boone County. He's the ranking minority member of the House Budget Committee and also is serving on the governor's task force recommending ways the state spends these federal stimulus funds. Representative Kip Kendrick, thank you so much for being here on the check-in today.
Yeah, thank you very much for the invitation.
And also joining us today is going to be Missouri Senator Caleb Rowden. Senator Rowden represents Boone and Cooper counties in the state Senate. He's the majority floor leader and previously served two terms also in the State House of Representatives. Welcome, Senator Rowden.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
All right. And let me remind listeners, you can join the discussion, too. What questions do you have for Senator Rowden and Representative Kendrick about the state's COVID-19 relief funds or the budget for this coming fiscal year? Stimulus funds are here. They're being distributed. What do you want lawmakers to keep in mind about what's going on with you? What are you seeing? And what do you want them to keep in mind as they make these decisions? Representative Kendrick, let's start with you. Let me just ask you, and I want to ask Senator Rowden the same question here in a minute. What does the Capitol look like right now? We know that there are many, many few people, no school children, lobbyists in the galleries. What's your day to day in Jeff City looking like right now?
Yeah, it's kind of an eerie feeling. I mean, as you mentioned, there's not the amount of visitors that we typically see where, you know, not uncommon to have thousands of people coming in and out of the building every day. We're not seeing that. And obviously, the halls are empty, but we're definitely working hard in the House chamber and committee hearings to wrap the session up in the next couple of weeks.
Okay. And while I have you, Representative Kendrick, we were just talking about these, the supplemental aid package, the stimulus funding being disseminated, and you're part of a task force, I believe, that's going to recommend how these funds are spent. This is a big question, but how are you and the working group members planning to approach your recommendations?
Well, it's a tremendous amount of responsibility. The federal government, through the CARES Act in particular, sent down $2.38 billion to the state. And just, I guess it was a little over a week ago, April 22nd, they sent four pages of guidance on how that $2.38 billion from the coronavirus relief funds can be spent, which is not a whole lot of guidance. They did send out some more, an additional FAQ yesterday. But one of the first tasks with the task force was making sure that we can get the money out to the counties in a timely fashion. So today, basically all of the $521 million that's been set aside for counties across the state of Missouri will go out the door and be deposited in their revenue accounts. And it will be up to the counties to disperse those funds to additional political subdivisions within their jurisdiction, including cities, fire protection districts, and work forward on how to spend that money at the local level. The remaining money at the state level will be used on coronavirus-related expenditures, and task force is definitely looking into ramping up testing, working to try to find vendors at this point for antibody testing. Any successful opening of the economy is going to require widespread availability of testing, so it's critical that we meet that need. We're also looking at getting additional funds out to food banks here in the near future. Submitted a proposal and some recommendations yesterday on that. And contact tracing, I think, is going to be another topic we take up in the very near future as well. With the additional testing, we'll need to make sure that contact tracing is funded in such a way that we can make sure to take appropriate actions on people who test positive to quarantine as necessary, or to at least trace down individuals that they may have come in contact with.
Okay. And Representative Kendrick, a lot of what you're talking about here, testing, the contact tracing, are things that public health departments at the county level and every level deal with all the time, and particularly right now. How much autonomy will the counties and those health departments have in how this funding is used?
Yeah, so part of the money that goes down to the counties will definitely be able to be used for the public health, local public health agencies at the county and city level across the state. And then we will also have a continued discussion in the task force about additional funds that need to go to those public health departments and how the coordination will continue to happen.
All right. Let me bring in Senator Rowden. Thank you so much for being with us on the check-in today, Senator Rowden.
You bet. I'm glad to be here.
Let me ask you the same question. What is it like for you? What's your feeling from your vantage point just the day-to-day in Jefferson City right now?
Yeah, as Kip said, it is much different. I mean, the last 2 weeks of a normal session, last 3 weeks, are hopping, lots of hustle and bustle, lots of people around here, both members of the public and folks here, advocating on certain issues, and there's just a lot of stuff flying around. We're always, kind of up against the wall on passing a budget, and this year's no exception to that. So it is a little different, and I think we're trying to make the best of a generally not great situation. And I think our goal on our side has been to, for the most part, try to find, issues that. Have consensus that are things that we can push forward in a meaningful way, that stuff that both sides of the aisle can generally agree on, and so we passed a budget out of the Senate yesterday with bipartisan votes on both on all those bills. I think every bill that we have passed out of the Senate up until now has received a bipartisan vote, and so we're trying to be a little bit more intentional, just to make sure that folks feel as good as they can about the work that's being done in obviously a pretty sticky situation.
Okay, well, that's a good point that you make, Senator Rowden, about the bipartisanship that you were seeing. Do you feel like there's nothing better than a pandemic, I would say, to get us all on the same page? Let me start with you, Senator Rowden, since I have you at the moment. Do you feel like these things that need to be tackled can be tackled? A lot of times you have Republicans who are talking about efficiency and Democrats are more focused on safety net. Can the two ideals come together during this pandemic to get what needs to be done?
Yeah, I mean, I do think it presents a different context and a different kind of framework of variables. And so, there are obviously always going to be issues that the various sides are just going to disagree on, and there's not a whole lot that can change that. We've, for the most part, up until now on our side, and I can't speak for the House, but have tried to stay away from those issues and just try to find things that are meaningful for communities, for our senators that have local priorities. And things that we can work together to get done that aren't terribly offensive or terribly controversial, and so there probably will be a couple of bigger ticket conversations maybe in the last week, it really has been it was a goal of mine, knowing that we had issues. There were people across the spectrum that had some concerns about us coming back at all, when we were doing it, how we were doing it. And so in my position as a majority leader, I think, just very, very, being very intentional about opening lines of communication with my caucus, with the Democratic caucus, and saying, hey, look, here's what we're doing. We're not trying to play hide the ball and accomplish some big ticket partisan thing without you knowing about it, that sort of thing. And so that communication has been good on our side, and we feel okay about where we are as of now.
Okay, let me bring in Representative Kip Kendrick. Kip, it sounds like in the House, the budget bills and the package that were passed, those votes might have been a little bit more on party lines from what I'm understanding from our team reporting. What does the bipartisanship in addressing this crisis look like so far to you in this process?
Well, over here in the People's House, it is different, I believe, than what's happening in the Senate right now. There have been a lot more controversial issues taken up over the last several days on the House side. There are bills, Senate bills in particular, that are being loaded up with massive omnibus bills. I mean, bills that have, you know, came over as, you know, a few pages in length that are now 1,000-plus pages. And, you know, it's hard to track in the matter of hours that those Senate bills get loaded up, what's exactly in them. But there have been a lot of controversial things added, and there have been a lot of omnibus bills created that I feel confident in saying that no one member of the House could tell you exactly what's in every bill right now that's moving. Mm-hmm. And that becomes very problematic. So, you know, in some ways, those bills we send back over to the Senate, we're going to be relying on them to hopefully strip them down or do what's necessary to make sure that we're not passing bad policy in this time.
Okay. Let me remind listeners, we're speaking with Representative Kip Kendrick, who serves on the House Budget Committee, and Senator Caleb Rowden, the Majority Floor Leader. We're talking about the upcoming fiscal year budget. We're also talking about COVID-19 relief funds, how they're going to be spent in Missouri. Kip and Caleb, I really appreciate you being willing to let us bring callers into this discussion, which is kind of the point of the check-in. And we do have some callers, so let me go to Rose calling from Columbia. Did you have a comment or question for either of our legislators?
I do. This is a question for Senator Rowden. First, why did you vote to undo the Clean Missouri reforms that we voted for? And second, do you plan to support SB 600, the crime bill, which just yesterday had added to it guns everywhere, on campus, daycares, bars everywhere, nullification of federal gun laws and punishment of local authorities for enforcing federal gun laws? And finally, a mandate that all school resource officers carry a firearm at all times. I mean, talk about controversial and partisan issues. This is being piled on when we can't come to the Capitol to protest. We would normally be in those hearings. And you would have to look us in the face when you put those things in the bills and voted for them. And I'd like to hear what he has to say.
All right. Thanks for the call, Rose. We appreciate you calling in and checking in with us today. Okay, Senator Rowden, you've got a couple of things to address there. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, sure. I'll tackle Clean Missouri first. I understand the talking point. I think a statement that says that we are undoing anything is blatantly false and flawed. I think that the only thing that we have the ability and the capability to do is send the voters a different option. And so that's what we are aiming to do. There are good reasons why we do that. From my perspective, and I understand that this is a passionate issue with, you know, differing opinions, and I respect Rose's opinion on the issue. But I do think that there are functional reasons why the language in Clean Missouri is untenable for the purposes of redistricting. That you will not be able to draw a map based on the guidelines highlighted in Clean Missouri. It will get challenged. I believe the challenge will be upheld, and then judges will end up drawing a map. And so we're trying to clarify exactly, you know, get to a place that maybe is a little more feasible for the purposes of drawing this next set of maps. So I'm not undoing anything. I respect the will of the voters. We're going to give them a different option, potentially, if the House passes the bill that we passed. But if they don't, Clean Missouri is going to be the law and continue to be the law, and that will be what it is. Senate Bill 600, I don't know everything that's in it. My chances of supporting that are pretty low for any number of reasons. I think some of the things that the House put in it are obviously very controversial and not things that probably meet the litmus test of what I have said previously as things that we're trying to do in a bipartisan manner, find consensus on certain issues. I don't think that a number of things in Senate Bill 600 probably meet that criteria. So my I probably can't speak definitively without talking to the bill sponsor, but my hunch is that Senate Bill 600, it will never see the Senate floor and is probably dead for the year.
Okay. And to Rose's point, Senator Rowden, about the fact that there aren't protests, there aren't members of the public in the galleries right now, is this a good time for Republican lawmakers and others to not be pushing things through that might not be representative of what many Missourians think right now, and not take advantage of this crisis to do that?
Yeah, I mean, I think in a general sense, I would agree. I think, probably... our collective definitions of controversial might be a little bit different, and as far as maybe Rose's view of the world versus the state of Missouri's kind of majority view of the world, I think there probably might be some differences there, which is fine. But I do think I think we have to be mindful of the fact that we are here under very very different circumstances, and. I do understand that Missouri gun control advocates, if they had had a heads up that was going to happen on the floor of the House, they would have been there. They would have made their voices heard, and they have every right to do that. And so, from my perspective, again, I can't control what the House does. They're going to do what they're going to do. I can control, to a greater extent what we do over here, and which is why I think, we're going to take a very, very hard look at everything that the House sends over. And if it meets the stated criteria of something that we can get, a bipartisan support on, or something that, generally speaking, we can, get everybody halfway comfortable with, then we bring it forward. And if we can't, we don't. It's really that simple. And so that, whether it's Senate Bill 600, whether it's related to guns or related to anything else, I think that's the criteria that we're working off of for the last 7 or 8 days here in the Senate.
Let me go back to Representative Kendrick. Do you have anything to add to this discussion on either of these points that Rose brought up, Kip, or anything else?
Well, I just mentioned on going back to the omnibus bills for a second, not only are we seeing omnibus bills loaded up in the House with things that are controversial, but also, new subjects that haven't ever been vetted before in committee. And so, I mean, that creates that creates problems as well when you're seeing new bills pop up as amendments without going through any type of vetting process until they're offered as amendments on the House floor, where a vetting process by a member of the chamber can last just a few minutes rather than the hours of public hearing and finding potentially issues with bill legislation that seems mundane or seems to be well written, and then you get in a committee hearing and you say, oh yeah, that line probably is problematic, we need to address that. And that's just not happening right now on the House side, so it's concerning.
Okay, all right, let's take a call. Andrew in Columbia, thanks for calling into the check-in. You had a comment about the Clean Missouri language?
Yeah, so the House had a hearing last week on the legislature's gerrymandering plan, and the sponsors said the goal of the language was to draw maps based on eligible voters. But 21% of the population of Boone County is under 18, and 4% are legal immigrants who are not eligible voters. So my question is, not counting 25% of the population would be devastating for the political representation of us here in Boone County. I'm a constituent of both the senator and the representative. So does the senator still support this plan, even though it would be detrimental to our representation here? Thanks.
Okay, thanks for the question, Andrew. Yeah, Senator Rowden.
Yeah, so I actually think our language puts it back to the way that it has been for as long as we've been drawing maps in Missouri. The state constitution was silent as to who was counted, and it has always been that everybody has been counted. And so I think one of the things in Clean Missouri made some specifications that we didn't feel were necessary. From my perspective, the objective is not to change the way it is counted; it is to keep it the way that it is, or the way that it has been in the past. And so existing law before Clean Missouri was silent on that particular issue. And ultimately, the commission would have the ability, I think, from our perspective anyway, in the legal work that we've taken on, would have the ability to make the determination as to who gets counted and who doesn't. But I'm not interested in changing the counting process, and so that I can't speak to what anybody else said or anybody else's motives, but it's certainly not mine, and I actually don't think that what the language does is that.
All right. Thanks for that, Senator Raldon. Let's take another call from Alice, calling in Columbia. Alice, thanks for checking in. What's your question or comment?
Okay. Real quick, Representative Kendrick, the first round of federal money went for COVID. A large amount went to the state health departments, and the state health department chose to not give any of those money to the 99 local health departments around the state who are off so busy with COVID work. So I wanted to note some assurances about that we'd be looking at the wonderful network of locals. I also just wanted to remind Senator Rowden that 70% of Mid-Missourians voted for clean as is, and I don't think they want to change. 70% of your voters. So anyway, thank you.
All right. Thanks for the call, Alice. Really appreciate that call. Representative Kendrick, the question was directed for you. Federal money allocating to local health departments. How is that going to work?
Yeah, I mean, it's very problematic. And I've expressed my concern to the department on how that first money was handled, not getting it out to the local health departments in a timely manner. We're 50th in the nation in funding local public health departments. We need to improve, and with the supplemental FY21 bill that was passed, our FY20 bill that was passed, I guess over a week now ago, that did have funding for local health departments, and we need to just make sure that money gets out as quickly as possible to county health departments across the state who are really responsible at this point for doing the contact tracing and the follow along and untangling the web of when you do have a positive in the county. It's critical work, and they do it on a shoestring budget.
You know, Alice's question, you know, brings up something that we've all kind of seen and witnessed and read about as this crisis unpacks and as journalism now sort of goes back. I've seen some reporting on the tensions between some state leaders. You can see this. We can see some bipartisan examples of this. We can see President Trump with Anthony Fauci and that tension between a politician and a public health official. And then you can also see this with the Democratic mayor of New York City, Bill de Blasio, and the New York Public Health Department, which, you know, the politics of that led to misinformation, confusion, and delay, I feel like. As political leaders, so you're good people to ask about this, and it's kind of getting to the heart of Alice's question there, which is, as political leaders, how can you make sure that there aren't those tensions and that the money, the funding, the resources, and also the communication, the message, stays in the hands of public health officials that are better at it?
Well,
Kip, do you want to take that?
Yeah, I was going to say, and just as another note, you know, the part of the reason, my response that I got back from DHSS on part of the reason why the money didn't go out to directly to public health officials at the local level was that the price increase, the significant increase of purchasing PPE, absorbed all that money. So the money that was going to go out was used to purchase PPE for the hospitals, and with the increased cost there, it took away the ability to get at least that initial round out to local public health departments. Now the CARES Act obviously has additional money that is going out to the counties right now that can be used, and you know, hopefully the state will do more. But yeah, I mean, there is that tension. Obviously, the country entered this public health crisis and economic crisis divided. You know, we just need to do what we can as elected officials to not further that divide and to be as cohesive as possible and follow the science and make sure that we can get as correct information out there as possible and try to make sure everybody understands we're in this together.
Okay. Senator Raldon, anything to add to that?
Yeah, I mean, I'd just say I think, you know, the role of public health folks is terribly important in any day, but it's really important in the current day. And I think, you know, we all Politicians get it wrong a lot. You know, I think public health folks, certainly their motives are always right. They may not always get it right.
That's
true. But they're trying to make sure that you know, they're doing the right thing for the right reasons. And so I think where you get into that conflict that you're talking about between elected officials and public health folks is when, you know, sometimes, and this is true of a lot of different interactions, but, you know, trying to prescribe motive, trying to make somebody, you know, the reason why they're doing something is some you know, poorly motivated thing. I think that's something that can get you in a lot of hot water and get you in a bad place in politics in general. And so I think that's something that we can all do a little bit better at is, you know, we're not going to always get it right. But I think it's one thing for somebody to have a disagreement. You know, I have disagreements with Kip on policy all the time, but Kip's a great guy. We have a great relationship and, you know, we know that we know where we disagree and those are our principal places and that's okay. But there's a lot of places that we do agree. And so I think that's the, you know, that's what causes some of that tension and more of that might be, maybe not necessarily the overarching stuff, but the underlying stuff. I think that, you know, we've got to make sure that we keep balanced.
All right. Thank you for that. I think you're right, Senator Rowden and Representative Kendricks. This is a good time to assume the best in people and keep moving forward as constructively as we can. And that's good to hear your vantage point and your perspective from both of you. We are just about out of time. So let me just give each of you a chance to just talk about what you'd like to leave us with, what you think, what you'd like Missouri citizens to keep in mind as you're going about this budget planning. Senator Rowden, you first.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, our this is probably one of the most, it is definitely the most fluid budget kind of situation that I've ever been a part of, just with all the uncertainty of, you know, where exactly the economy is. Obviously, unemployment is a problem, and there are all of these variables that have kind of come together at the same time. And so I think, unlike most years where when we pass a budget, you know, in towards the end of session, we have a pretty clear understanding of that it is going to be balanced, how it is going to be balanced, and you know, really feel comfortable about the spot that we're in. That's almost impossible given our current set of circumstances, you know, partly because of the uncertainty of the economy, but also partly because of you know, just the reality of the dollars that have come in from the various stimulus packages, the guidance that comes from that, you know, guidance that is late, that's incomplete, that maybe doesn't answer all the questions that we need answered. And so I think, unlike other years, this is an ongoing, you know, sort of budget process where we're going to pass a budget on Friday of this week. But I certainly think it is going to require and demand additional attention down the road, you know, whether that's a special session next month or in September or whenever. You know, the budget's always balanced. It'll always get balanced by the end of the fiscal year. But I do think that this year will require us to give a little bit more intentionality and attention to it, you know, throughout the year. And we're
right.
Ready to do that.
All right. Thank you, Senator Rowden. Representative Kendrick, I wish we had more time. We've left you about 10 seconds. Any last words?
Sorry, yeah, Kip. It's very difficult budgeting right now, and it's going to continue to be difficult budgeting into the future. So, you know, we're going to do the best we can and really be reliant on the federal government to hopefully come through with funding to help us move forward.
All right. Thank you so much, Representative Kip Kendrick, Senator Caleb Rowden. Thanks so much for your time today and for coming on The Check-In. That's it for The Check-In today. Thanks to those of you who called in. I apologize for the calls that we couldn't get to. Call us again. We'll be back here tomorrow, same time, same place. I'm Janet Saidi. Stay well and stay in touch.